Come on, let's say the name.
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, yes. For surely the word of the Lord comes to those who feel passed over, those who feel forsaken, those who feel like they sit in the shadows, unnoticed and unseen, frustrated, fearful, and broken. The word of the Lord comes to you. You that feel lost, you that feel broken, you that feel defeated, my grace is available to you this day, says the Lord. You will not struggle by yourself. You will no longer fumble to find your place in my purpose and plan. But if you would receive today and believe with your heart that you are greatly loved, that God sees you and he knows you and he feels what you feel. Don't you know that my grace has come for you this day? So no longer count yourselves out. No longer count yourselves forgotten, disqualified. For I say to you that have said to yourselves, I am disqualified. The Lord says to you, I have qualified you. I have called you, and my hand is upon you. And the story begins a new chapter this day, says the Lord. It begins the moment you receive my grace. For I will give grace to the weak. I will give grace to the broken. I will give grace to the defeated. And my grace will lift you, says the Lord. I will pole vault you over the problem and over the circumstance and over the loss. I will pole vault you over. And even the tension that you felt in these last moments is a part of the spring that's in the pole that will hurl you to a new place. I'm going to pick you up and drop you down in a brand new place. For today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of deliverance. And today is your day for the story to change. Hallelujah. Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is not for the perfect. Your grace is not for the beautiful. Your grace is for all of us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive your grace. Come and wash us and cleanse us and give us a new beginning this day. Lord, reset us, recalibrate us, and bring us into the big middle of everything that you have for us, Lord. We don't want to miss a piece of it, Lord. Thank you. Now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray the same Holy Spirit that inspired these words to be written would give grace and light and inspiration and illumination to the scripture so that we can walk in it, Lord. Let us be changed and inspired as never before. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Welcome. Let's get into the word of God. Just before we share this morning's message, I want to let you know a couple of things that I'm pretty excited about this week. This week, I'm excited because the junior hires and high schoolers are headed off to youth camp. We have a special speaker that's coming down from Portland, Oregon to spend time with your sons and daughters and my sons and daughters. And so can we just, through this week, can we just pray that God will move? This one's close to me because I got touched. And my life really changed in a youth camp. Now, that might not be your story, but I'll tell you, it's one of those places where God wants to touch 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 12-year-olds. So can we pray that God will move powerfully this week? Will you do it? And then also this Friday night, I'm excited about my good friend, Pastor Javier and Melinda Ramos from Shiloh Church now in Oakland, California, coming down to spend some time with our married couples, our engaged couples right here in the main auditorium, and you're all invited. It's free. It's going to be a powerful time. This is a marriage seminar for people who don't usually go to marriage seminars. It's going to be different. It's going to be special. We're believing for a Holy Spirit moment. So make a date out of it. Go eat dinner and then bring your sweetheart to the house of God. And let's have some, let's get the power of God going in our marriages, amen? Even if all you need is a tune-up. I know most of you, your marriages are just perfect. They just, no room for improvement. But even if you would just get a tune-up, wouldn't that be worth it? So it's going to be very special this Friday night, 7 o'clock. Child care is available if you If you have a child or even a childish member of your family that you'd like to drop off at the church, but you need to register in order to have the child care. And I think, is it still open? Is child care still open? So there's room for a few more, I think. And it's going to be a great, great, great time. All right, let's grab our teaching outline and get into the Word of God. It's my prayer today that I could inspire you, that the Holy Spirit would use me to speak words, to inspire you to live a life that is just a little bit more wild than the one you might be living. Because when you really think about who Jesus is and this amazing figure that we follow, that we love, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was wild. Oh, he knew how to be the Lamb of God. He knew how to bless and touch children and heal the broken and deal gently. He is gentle, but there's a wild side of him. He's a table flipper. And he's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So there's both. And I want to know, in you, is there anything that's wild? I don't mean morally wild. That's not what I'm talking about. You would know me better than to think that I would say you should be morally wild. What I'm talking about is, are you wild about the right things? Are you wild about prayer, wild about worship, wild about the things that can really make a difference in the world? I'm hoping that your heart will run a little bit faster and your life will go to a little bit more exciting place, a little more dynamic, passionate place as you follow the Lord Jesus, who is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. I like to say it this way. Maybe this will help you understand this word wild, because there's been some talk. People are talking. Oh, this pastor is talking about wild. I don't like that. I don't like wild. That's the point. We're trying to get your attention. Let me say it this way to you, and you'll certainly agree with this. Wild is about taking what's important further than ever. Amen. Wild is about taking the things that are key and just turning it up, taking it to a whole new level. Today, I want to turn the spotlight of our attention onto the subject of forgiveness. We're not looking for tame forgiveness, reasonable forgiveness, appropriate forgiveness. We're today going to talk about wild forgiveness, forgiveness that pushes the boundaries a little bit, forgiveness that's unexpected and maybe even shocking and would strike the human heart as perhaps unreasonable, inappropriate, and yet it's the forgiveness that God has for us. And as we learn how God forgives us, somewhere in there, there's a response coming out of that from us that says, okay, if God forgives me this way, maybe my part is to be a little bit wilder in the way I forgive other people, a little bit less reasonable, a little more unexpected in my forgiveness. In 1982, Frank and Elizabeth Morris's life changed forever by a trauma that no parent would ever want to experience. Their only son was killed by a drunk driver, a 22-year-old drunk driver named Tommy Pagagi. And as the legal system advanced, the parents of this child were hoping, believing that justice would be done, that an appropriate sentence would come. But what happened to Tommy Pagagi is he had no record of any other offenses, and the judge was lenient and gave him 5 months of probation and sentenced him to give talks at Mothers Against Drunk Driving events, talk about his experience. So the first wave of pain was the loss of their son. And the second wave of pain was the seeming injustice of nothing really significant happening to this person. And they were infuriated, filled with an emotion that they had never felt before. They were Bible-believing Christians. They loved God. Frank was actually a teacher in his church, a lay preacher. He did the baptisms and he was responsible. But you know, when you're pushed to that place of pain and it's like a breathless, inexplainable thing that happens to you, and then nothing seems to be done, even good people would wrestle with wild emotions of anger and resentment and bitterness. And this is certainly where Frank and Elizabeth Morris found themselves, even though they were devout believers. They started to wish Tommy Pagagi to die. They wanted him to pay as their son had paid. So hearing about one of his MADD events, where it was promoted that Tommy Pagagi was going to be there sharing the story, Elizabeth went, and it was her full intention to disrupt the meeting, confront him, heckle him, and humiliate him in front of the crowd. But as she sat that night, and Tommy Pagagi opened his mouth and said, "Let me tell you about the night that I took a young boy's life because of drinking." And she could see the pain and the regret, and she could see in this person that she, all she had was hate for him. She could sense a grace starting to come into her heart, and the anger, not the pain, but the anger was subsiding. And she decided not to heckle him. She decided not to confront him, but instead she returned to his next meeting, and his next meeting where eventually they met. And boy, was he surprised to meet the mother of the young man that he had killed. She realized that he was truly sorry and that he was full of remorse for the things that had happened. And by about the third or fourth MADD meeting, she was able to walk up to Tommy Pagagi and say, "You took my son's life, but I forgive you." And in that, she found a freedom, forgiveness. Amen. To me, that's wild. I've never lost it. I love my children with a fervent, fervent love. And I can't imagine what losing a child is like. And then on top of that, to forgive someone who got off easy, to me, that's wild. Forgiveness. What does it mean to forgive? Why is it so hard to forgive? What does God expect of us about forgiveness? And what are some ways that we could move to a better place in this realm? There's a definition in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary of forgiveness that gives a little bit of light. It says, to cease to feel resentment, to cease to feel resentment against an offender. How do we do that? How do we move to that place? There's a Bible word. One of the Bible words is very picturesque, the word forgive in the Bible. One of them is, there are many, but one of them is the picture of holding something in your hand and dropping it. Forgiveness is letting go. Forgiveness is letting it drop and refusing to keep holding on to it. Why should we do that? And what does it mean to forgive? One thing I know for sure, and I wanna maybe disarm a couple of misconceptions here. To forgive does not mean that what happened to you, if you were hurt by someone, was not important. Amen. To forgive does not mean that the hurt that we experienced doesn't matter. To forgive does not mean that what happened to us is okay. To forgive is not to endorse the behavior of the offender. When we have been hurt, it can be so hard depending on the degree of hurt. And hurt can come in a lot of different ways. It can come in one huge dose, such as the loss of your son. Or it could come as 1,000 paper cuts from that spouse or that family member that just keeps doing the thing that drives you crazy. Either way, the pain builds up, the frustration builds up, and it can lead to things. It can lead to sleeplessness. It can lead to physical symptoms. And so not only does Christianity talk about forgiveness, but other great religions in the world. It's like this issue of forgiveness is not just, it's as real as gravity. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus Christ to know the power of forgiveness. Amen. And know how beneficial it is and how important it is It's a law that works in every human being's life. And there's something about releasing it and letting it drop and letting it go that sets not only the person free, but sets you free. Why should we do it? One reason is that Jesus asked us to do it. Amen. Jesus loves us. And so he asks us to disarm the ticking time bomb that's surely going to blow up on the inside of our life. He says, whenever you stand praying, Mark 11, verse 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. And this is where this special word forgive comes in. Drop the issue. Now, just turn to somebody next to you and say, drop it. Go ahead, do that. He says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, drop it and let it go, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Whoa. Your sin, my sin, he will forgive us of that and wrongdoings against him and others. Forgiveness is about wrongdoing, and Jesus puts the issue of forgiveness smack dab in the middle of our relationship with him. He says, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this if you want to pray with unforgiveness in your heart. We're going to talk about this if you want me to forgive you, but you don't want to forgive others. This is an issue that we're going to discuss, and he teaches on it often. I have here my red folder of offenses. Oh, yeah, yeah. I keep track. I know what people owe me and they haven't paid me. I know the times that people have offended me and treated me poorly, forgot to do something that they promised they were surely going to do, repeated something that they said they would never do again. I've got it all written down right here. I've got a file, every dollar, every word, every grief, all of my complaints against different people in my life, all the little tiny irritating, aggravating things. I got them right here. It's all written down. That time that I was nice and they weren't nice back. The tiny ones and the big ones, it's all here in my offense file. But what Jesus is getting at is he's getting at those of us that want to do this. Oh, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for your great love for me, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to bless me. Lord, I know that I didn't tithe, but I ask you to open the windows of heaven. Lord, I know that I haven't prayed, but I ask you to fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know that I didn't pay my bills, but I ask you to provide for me and prosper me and bless me. And to all of those that have hurt me, may they get what they deserve. It's comical, isn't it? I'm indulging in a little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of humor, poking fun, but we do this, don't we? We do. And he says, look, I'm not going to let you get away with that. What I'm asking you to do, before you come to connect with my goodness and my grace and my love and my provision, when you yourself have sinned and fallen short, and to ask for forgiveness for you, I'm asking, first step, drop it. Yes. Drop the record, yes, of what others have done to you, and just don't take it into your relationship with me. Don't take it into your future. Don't take it into your body. Don't take it into your faith life. You need to let it go, and with it, you need to release the negative emotions that are associated with that. If you've ever been hurt by someone, you know it's hard to let go. But love and the power of the Holy Spirit are surely enough to help us do this. We can forgive. Can I have an amen? And so he asks us to, and it's good, but there's another reason why we should forgive. Not just because he asked us to do it, but because it's very good for us. Yeah. to forgive. And this is where some of the other religions and philosophies and even people who don't believe in God, they will talk to you about the power of forgiveness because they know the benefit. They won't do it because Jesus said to do it, but they'll do it because it makes sense. The truth is, when you forgive, you're able, as a Christian, our perspective is we're able to receive God's forgiveness. This is what Jesus said. So that's certainly valuable, but also broken relationships. When you forgive, let's say in a marriage or a friendship or a family situation where an offense has arisen, something imagined or something real that has come between two people who love each other, that starts to damage the relationship. And even if it comes as one huge mistake or 10,000 tiny mistakes, that builds up and it pinches, it steps on the air hose of that relationship and it suffocates it. And when you forgive, you're taking your foot off the air hose of that relationship and you're letting the oxygen back into it and you're saying, I want this thing to live. So there's a reconciliation that comes when there's forgiveness that is possible. Another benefit to us is that we give our wounded soul an opportunity to heal, because the pain of the damage and the thing that happened to us cannot heal. Listen, you cannot heal until you forgive. Amen. But when you forgive, you begin to heal on the inside. I'm not talking about theory today. I understand this very, very well in my own life. I'm 24 years old. As a young father struggling financially and not making it and facing lots of pressure and a lot of things that almost every young family goes through. My case wasn't special, but we were facing all those issues and those hard times. And at 24, I was diagnosed with a bleeding ulcer. The responsibilities that I was carrying in my work life and the pressures at home and mostly the negative emotions in my life that were related to unforgiveness. Because I had beef with some situations and I had some real challenges with people that were affecting my life with their attitudes and their actions. And I was taking it to bed with me and I was waking up with it. I don't think it's as much a conscious thing. I don't think anybody just wakes up in the morning and says, today I think I'll just withhold my forgiveness. I don't think it works that way. I think most people are trying to do the best they can do, but stuff gets in. And even good people, even people that want to do what's right, we can start to carry things and it gets to be too much. And if we're not careful, it'll build up and it'll affect us. And it was affecting me physically, and I know this because I was instantly healed when I forgave. I came to a point where somebody said to me, I mean, I was... You know, one of the ways you can tell that you haven't forgiven is you're still talking about it. You haven't moved on because you're still talking about it. It's still coming up. It's still in, and it was coming up, even though I'm kind of a controlled person and I can hold things in. Maybe you're like that too. You can hold things in to a point, but it'll start leaking out. And somebody challenged me and they said, it sounds like you have unforgiveness. And that hit me like, not me. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I wouldn't do that. But I was convicted, and this person dropped to their knees and grabbed my hands and started praying. And that broke me. And I started crying and crying and crying. And I forgave and I released stuff that I didn't even realize was in there. And I was instantly, I don't know if you believe in miracles, but I was instantly, I would wake up in the middle of the night in such pain, I would wake up like this. Not, I would wake up and then realize I was in pain and I would grab my abdomen. I would wake up that way. And I was instantly healed. I mean, and it has never come back. So I understand the power of dropping it and letting it go. There's benefits to forgiveness that are worth considering. We exchange the negative thoughts and feelings for peace of mind. We can sleep again. We free ourselves of the desire to retaliate or punish those who have hurt us, and we're free to move on. If there's one thing I want for you, I want you to move forward with your life. I don't want you stuck. And forgiveness is a huge part of getting unstuck. So today I'm believing for a miracle for every person who's relating to this message and connecting. I believe it's so significant that you are here today. I believe the Lord loves you so much that he arranged this, and kudos to you. Congratulations for cooperating with God's plan. You came to God's house not knowing what you would hear. But I think today will be a day of great healing and great deliverance and great freedom for marriages and families and singles and individuals and retired business people and young family members and young single people and teenagers that have just had stuff build up in their file way deep down inside, and God wants to release you from it. Let me share, just for the next few minutes, three significant dimensions of wild forgiveness. All right, you want to write these down? I encourage you to write things down. Look at these verses. Talk with your family. Talk over lunch. Talk in your life group. Go over these scriptures. Dig a little deeper. And let this teaching and this message get deep into your heart and see where God will take you through the power of wild forgiveness. Number one, wild forgiveness from heaven. God started it. God will never ask you to do something he hasn't already modeled and committed to himself. He forgave us. And it comes from heaven. It's a gift. He saw us separated from him by our sins. And what did he do? Crush us? We deserved it. But he initiated reconciliation and forgiveness because he loves us. Now, just stop and think, because let me press you just a little bit about the heart of God. Maybe, I don't know if you've ever had the thought that God could possibly be hurt or vulnerable by your lack of love toward him. I'm just going to raise that as a question. Have you ever loved somebody and they didn't love you back? It hurts, right? It's humbling. It's humiliating. It's incomplete. And so that God loves us, and sometimes we don't return that love. Instead, we do what he has clearly asked us not to do. Instead, we spurn him, ignore him, and go the other way. And I've done it a million times, and yet he still loves me. That says something to me about who God is. This forgiveness comes freely from heaven. And it would seem reasonable to say, God, here's what would really be right. You should say, I'm willing to love you if you repent and you clean up your act and if you get it together and you do everything that's right, then I will bless you and I will love you back. There's nothing wild about that. That seems reasonable. Here's what's wild. That he loves us whether we respond to his love or not. He never turns it off. It's a stubborn love. It's a persistent love. It's a committed love. It's a love that doesn't wait for a response. He just keeps loving us. He rains blessings down on the just and on the unjust. And if you want blessings in your life, try obedience, because God will really take it to another level if you obey him. But he would never say, no, if you don't love me, then I won't love you. That's just not who he is. So he sets the pattern from the very beginning. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son. He gave everything. As soon as he was convinced that we were deserving enough and that we would respond correctly, that's when he gave Jesus. Is that what it says? He said, I give my son to, and this is the scandalous word, to whoever. Everybody say whoever. No, that can't be. It can't be that he would give his son for the sins of whoever would believe. That's it? Just believe? Just accept it? there's got to be a catch. There's got to be a fine print. There's got to be a condition. There's got to be. No, he gave his son long before we were responding to him. So why do you think that your response to God would be the basis of his love for you? He loves you whether you respond to him or not. And it's the whoevers. Is there anybody here that's a whoever? He didn't come for the righteous. Look what he said. I have come to invite the outcasts of society and sinners, not those who think they're already on the right path. Amen. You might be surprised at who you meet in heaven one day. You're going to be in heaven sitting next to outcasts and sinners and the biggest losers in history. And then the righteous people, the people that walked with a certain kind of holiness, certain kind of mask of religiosity, appropriate conduct. He says to them, I never knew you. This is the love of God that goes way past our response. Now, you should respond to his love, and your faith in him and your obedience to him are crucial for your life. But your disobedience will never stop his love. So just deal with the fact that he forgives and he loves, and that is wild. There will be times when people will hurt us, and there will be times where we hurt God. Sometimes we will hurt God intentionally, or maybe it will be unintentionally. But aren't you glad today that God will never turn his back on us when we hurt him? And don't you think it would be appropriate for us to love people the way God loves us? It's getting quiet in here. Is this microphone on? Christian, am I connected? Okay. Just checking. There's pain in that kind of situation, but God wants to give us the way to do it. Here's what he says we can do. We can let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. I said, how do we know if all this junk is in our heart? It's coming out of our mouth. Oh, I didn't mean that. I don't know why I said that. Well, you said it because you meant it. You didn't mean to say it, but it was real to you, and it came out. So he says, put all that stuff away, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking, put it away from you, drop it with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's wild forgiveness from heaven. Second dimension of forgiveness worth noting is the wild forgiveness that comes directly through Christ. Let's take Jesus as an example of forgiveness here. Romans 5 says, but Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place when we had appropriately proven our proper response to him. Is that right? No, long before we responded to him. Long before we valued who he was or what he did, long before then, he was loving us, knowing that some of us would not love him back. Taking that risk, because that's who he is. Passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. Has it crossed your mind lately that God is passionately in love with you, that he's wild about you? That like the father of the prodigal, you want to talk about your sins and you want to explain and you want to say how you're not worthy and he just wants to ignore you and just welcome you back and put the ring and the robe on you?
Amen.
This kind of love is almost scandalous. It's offensive. We got to find something wrong with that kind of love. We got to find the exception. We got to read the fine print. Surely that can't be reasonable, and yet it is. He showed his great love and compassion by dying for us and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And on that cross, he makes a way for us to be delivered from the just punishment of our sins. Truly just, truly righteous. We should pay. But he does a workaround. And he solves the problem by paying it himself. It's not that the price wasn't paid. It's that he paid the price. Which is perfect justice. And totally satisfies the standard of God's holiness so that we can now have relationship with him and live in the power of the cross. And as he was doing that, let's just think about the moment in Christ's life where he hung on the cross. Talk about dropping it. And I talk to people all the time. Look, maybe more than many people in this room, I understand the human experience. I talk to the people. I counsel the people. I minister. I serve with broken people, damaged, traumatized, people that have been raped, people that who've had their children murdered. Those are the people that I talk to all the time. So I get it, and I understand trauma. I would never make fun or light of a person's pain or glibly state, just let it go, just drop it, because I understand the deep nature of trauma. But I wonder if we have stopped to consider how traumatizing it would be to be stripped naked and attacked as Jesus was on the cross. To be humiliated, degraded, spit upon, plucked, insulted, rebuked, jeered, as you're naked. Look, every picture that you've seen of Jesus on the cross is a lie. He was nude. Amen. They stripped him to nothing and mocked him and spit on him and damaged him physically, like in a way that would create such throbbing pain, such mind-numbing pain. So in your trauma and in your pain, please remember, he knows what that is. He feels it too. And in that very moment when people, and none of them were saying, oh, you know, I regret this. I regret this. I'm sorry, Lord. Nobody said that to him. And he breathed out this prayer, Father. Yeah. Well, you have to wait until I'll forgive you, but you got to say sorry. I'll forgive you, but you got to mean it. Jesus made no such requirement. He said to the people as they attacked him in this way, Father, forgive them. That, brothers and sisters, is wild. That's wild. It's unreasonable. It's from another dimension. And yet, this love and this grace is available to us. Walking in wild forgiveness means forgiving even when an apology is never received. Walking in wild forgiveness means forgiving people when they're not sorry. Because we understand how vital it is to free ourselves from unforgiveness. Walking in wild forgiveness means that we will not only forgive the person who has hurt us, but we'll also let go of the anger, the bitterness, and the resentment about what they have done to us. Jesus put it again in the context of prayer. Forgive us our debts. He said, pray this way. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we have forgiven our debtors. Letting go, Amplified says, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. How wild is that? I have just a minute to finish this last point. Let's talk about wild forgiveness from the believer. I was reading in the book of Acts the other day and fascinated again to read the beautiful story of Saint Stephen. Stephen, the martyr, the first Christian martyr. And the circumstances of his death, and to see how even we as believers can flow and release this kind of forgiveness. Stephen had preached a pretty strong message. It was unpopular. And so the Jewish religious people, we're going to talk in a couple of weeks about the spirit of religion. I'm going to talk about the spirit of religion, because there's a mixture trying to come in with the gospel and in with the scripture, religion. And the problem with religion is it wants to shut down the free move of God's spirit. It wants to shut down the true nature of Christ and what it actually, but it appears holy and it appears super spiritual. And these super spiritual people were picking up their super spiritual rocks and super spiritually murdering someone who is preaching God's grace. And said they continued stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord. I mean, the rocks are flying, and this is his prayer. Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. Then falling on his knees in worship, he's being stoned. He cries out loudly, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do not charge them. And when he had said this, he died. How could we do that? The only hint I have about how that, this would ever be possible for me, because I'm not this good, is if you go back a couple of verses from where he says, forgive him, and it says that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and led by him. Come on, you and I don't have the power to forgive. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Hallelujah. And it says that he gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of Jesus. He saw Jesus. He kept his eyes on Jesus. And I think if you're struggling to forgive, maybe the key for you is just to keep your eyes on Jesus. And just to look to him and say, Lord, I don't have the power to do this, but I'm willing to do it. And to breathe out that prayer just in faith, Lord, I release my offenders. I release them. And it doesn't mean that what they've done didn't matter. And it doesn't mean that what they've done wasn't terrible, wasn't wrong. It doesn't mean that you're going to forget about it somehow. And it didn't affect you. It did, but you're going to forgive anyway. And you're going to walk away free. And in that, you're going to be like Christ. You're going to be full of wild forgiveness like the Father had, wild forgiveness like Jesus had. And you're going to be his disciple, his follower, the Son of God, the child of God, the daughter of God that he has created you to be. And you're going to be filled with wild forgiveness. To do this, we could only rely on the grace of God. The Bible says that when we're stuck and when we don't know what to do, we can come by grace into his presence to receive the help that we need. And I want to pray for you to receive the help of God today. Because if you're sick today and your sickness is rooted in unforgiveness, or you're in pain today, or you're sleepless today, or you're stuck, you're just plain stuck, here's the sad thing, here's the scary thing. When we don't forgive, we become like the sin that we're holding on to. An angry person hits you, and you get angry and you become like them because you haven't forgiven. The only hope for your life to change and my life to change is to forgive and move on. Don't get stuck. Release it today. I don't know, I should be closing this service, but I feel like God wants to heal you. God wants to set you free. He loves you so much. I think today could be a service or it could be a moment. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I ask right now. I'm feeble to preach this, Lord. I don't even know how to preach this. And Lord, we don't know how to do it. But something about this moment, Lord, that heaven is touching our lives, and we pray to receive the grace that we need, Lord, to drop it, to let it go. I'm going to ask you to do that right now. I'm going to ask you just to let the file and all the records of people that owe you money and owe you an apology and did you wrong and let you down and hurt you and wounded you in small ways or great ways, I'm going to ask you by grace and faith to let go of those things and say, Father, I'm dropping it. And I'm going to leave it in this room. I'm going to leave it at your altar. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to start walking by faith, believing you to heal my damaged heart and deal with my offenders, Lord. Deal with them. And as far as I'm concerned, Lord, I don't want bad things to happen to anybody anymore. There's enough pain. Forgive them all. Let them all go. I let my father go. I let my mother go. I let my ex-wife go. I let my boss go. I let my spouse go. I let my son, my daughter. I let my former pastor. I let my former employer. I let him go. I let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now I pray that as you're doing that, the healing power of a risen Christ would touch you. And that if you have stomach issues or migraine headaches or tension or anorexia or eating disorders or insomnia or addictions, that the power of those things and what they are rooted in will be broken root and branch, and that you will be powerfully delivered in the name of Jesus, who loves and forgives. Be healed, I command you. I command you to be healed and set free of the pain and the guilt and the torment and the hurt, emotionally as well as physically. Be healed through and through as you release and forgive. Everybody just say this prayer with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm dropping it. Come on, say it. I'm dropping it, Lord. I'm letting it go. And by faith, through your grace, I'm going to move on and live for you with all my heart, Lord. I ask for your grace to come to me and flow through me in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, if you feel like it, just lift your hands and thank God for his forgiveness. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for, Lord, I receive my healing. I receive a brand new beginning. Lord, you're setting reset on us today. Lord, I praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand? The Lord a hand. Amen. Jesus, you're worthy. We love you, Lord. We thank you for that. We're going to close the service in about 2-3 minutes. If at the end of the service, if you need healing prayer or you just need to check in with somebody, you're going to see our team up here in just a few minutes. These are trustworthy people. They're balanced, imperfect, but loving, and they'll talk to you. And, you know, please don't leave if you just got so, you just, I just need to check in with somebody. I need to receive. We'll be here. I want to thank you for your giving and for what you do and your serving and you're praying for our church. We need your prayers. It's no joke what we're trying to do. Preach the gospel in one city would be an enormous challenge, but to preach it in 5 cities, it just takes your prayers. I just need your prayers. But we're moving the ball. We're moving the needle. People are coming to the Lord. And so thank you for that. And that's very important. Let the Lord use you as you give and as you pray and as you serve. Let's worship together and I'll come back and speak a blessing on everyone.
Thank you, Pastor, for that awesome word. Thank you, God, that you're doing a deep work in our hearts right now. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. Let your mercy flow. Sing, not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. I forsaken the Lord.
Now you're going to get the best of the best today, because God listens to Kathy Canastrasi in ways that baffle me. And she prays, it happens. So, honey, speak a blessing over the people.
Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you teach us. And Lord, for the ways that you show us how to be successful and to be healed.
Yes.
Father, I just pray for each and every person in this room, God, that you would go with them, that you would go before them, and that you would shine that light of your word before their path,
yes,
God.
Lord.
I just pray your blessings on them as they go into their week. Pray your blessings on their family.
Yes, Lord.
Pray your blessings over their minds, over their wills, over their emotions.
Yes, Lord.
Over their jobs, over their schools, God. I just thank you for your grace covering every area of their lives.
Yes, yes.
Everything that concerns them concerns
you,
God. And I just thank you for blessing them this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everybody. God bless you all. The blessing of the Lord rests on you. See you Friday night for a great time for the marrieds. God bless.